دست هوية مصر إن شاء الله ذهاب أو إشتغل إشاء ذهاب مدام محمد مولدي إن شاء الله أستاذ مجدين وسكرو دي كيف So we implore us to be very attentive to judge what we need to judge. So it's a learning something which we should be able to also teach thereafter. And inshallah, Allah will guide us as we move on.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبك منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الكلام هدي محمد شر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise is due to Allah alone. We love Him and besiege His page and beg for His forgiveness. I testify and believe that there is no source worthy of worship except Allah. James says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the apostle of Allah. Verily, whoever Allah guides, none can misguide him. And also, whoever is astray, none can guide him. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I salute us with the best salutation ever revealed to mankind. The salutation of the people of paradise. May Allah count us among them. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. As it was nicely introduced by my able mentor here with me, I will want to show my appreciation for having this great opportunity to be invited in order to come and have a discussion class with my brothers and sisters. And I'm very happy as well for the fact that the discussion shall be in the form of classroom discussion rather than lecture presentation. Because this topic, especially that we are going to present this book on, is a topic that needs detailed explanation, as we are going to say from some few introduction parts that I'm going to make, inshallah. Not to take much of our time, and I mean Muhammad Muhyiddin Abdul Bashir, called by my kunya Abu Uwaisa. I'm also a student of Yani, like each and every one of us. And of course, this invitation was given to me by my teacher, so I have no excuse to get away from it. Not because I'm a scholar, that's why I quickly mentioned this. So let us give what I have to be presenting, inshallah. So, with the few time we are going to be discussing this book, we will want to know who is Al-Imam al-Qahawi in the first instance. Then the book that we are going to discuss, inshallah. Al-Imam al-Qahawi, as we had, is called Imam Abu Ja'far al-Qahawi. His full name is Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Azdi, which is popularly known by Al-Imam al-Qahawi. And that's why this book is called العقيدة الصحاوية. This is a creed. A book written to explain the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. I'm going to see why is it called Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyya, inshallah. Imam al-Tahawi was given birth to in the early days of Islam, that is in the fourth century of Islam. He came into being in the year 239. That was when he was given birth to 239. As we are living now in the 15th century of Islam age, that is 1439. You can see the king of now and the lady was the year he was given birth to is approximately 1,200 years. This creed that was written by Imam al-Tahawi. Imam al-Tahawi is a birthplace of Egypt, not the present day Egypt. As we all know that these days, places were not as they were before. Because those days, Egypt encompasses so many countries. I hope you are getting it. So he was given back in that area where it is called Ahab. That is why he is being named as Tahawi. That is something who originated from that Fahad village, which is in Egypt. This local scholar was among the most outstanding authorities of the Islamic world on Hadith and jurisprudence, that is taken. He lived at a time when both the direct and indirect disciples of the old imams of law were teaching from practice. Yes. He was able to meet the disciples of these four imams that are widely known to be the imams of Jews in Islam. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. In fact, as we are going to see it now, Imam Tahawi lived some years before the death of Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad happened to be the last of the four imams. Imam Tahawi lived when he was still alive. But at the time he was a student, he met some of his disciples, which he learned so many things from them. This period we are referring to was the great age, or the greatest age of Hadith and Fiqh. Because that was the age that the Islamic world experiences scholars of Hadith, like Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i, Abu Dawud, all of them they lived in this age together with Imam al-Tahawi. So you can see that Imam al-Tahawi is not somebody that is below their level, but they live in the same age. Only that their own books were so more renowned than maybe some of the book of Hadith. That is why the majority of Muslims today, they will have had the name of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, but some may not know who is Imam al-Tahawi. And Imam al-Tahawi, he studied with all the leading authorities of that day. He was opportune to study with them. And Imam Badruddin al-Aydi, who happened to be one of the commentators of Sahih al-Bukhari, when he was given the brief history of Imam al-Tahawi, he said, Imam al-Tahawi was 20 years when Imam Ahmad passed away. You can see, he was 20 years of age before the death of Imam Ahmad. And he was 27 years of age when Imam al-Bukhari passed away. You can see somebody that lived 27 years together with you. There is no doubt he really knows you, and maybe even studied with some of your scholars. Equally, Imam al-Tahawi was 23 years of age when Imam Muslim passed away. And he was 44 years of age at the time when Imam Ibn Majah passed away. Imam al-Tahawi was found to be 46 years of age at the time when Imam Abu Dawud, the author of Sunan, when he passed away. and he was 50 years of age when Imam al-Tirmidhi passed away. And Imam al-Nasa'i, he was 74 years of age at the time when Imam al-Nasa'i passed away. So you can see that Imam al-Tahawi lived almost the same time with those renowned scholars of Hadith in Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them all. And Imam al-Kawthari, who happens to be one of the scholars who emulate Imam al-Tahawi in some of his teaching, especially in the aspect of jurisprudence, in the aspect of fiqh. When he was describing Imam al-Tahawi, he relates all these aforementioned history of Imam al-Tahawi and those scholars, and he adds on to this, where he was saying that the consensus of scholars that Imam al-Tahawi allies in himself in the two knowledges of hadith and fiqh. So Imam al-Tahawi was found to be a renowned scholar in these two fields of Islamic knowledge. The consensus that included among others, Imam al-Bahri al-Aini and Imam al-Bahri also mentioned this. Ibn Kathir, one of the greatest Islamic scholars, in his book, Al-Hidayah wa Nihaya, he said, Imam al-Tahawi is one of the trustworthy narrators who established the reliability and one of the massive memorizers of hadith. So that is why Imam al-Tahawi is found to be a scholar in the real meaning of scholar. May Allah have mercy on him. Imam al-Tahawi began to study from his uncle. His uncle was his first mentor who coached him and guided him in the field of knowledge. The book that we are going to discuss is called Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, The Doctrine of Tahawi. Though the book, as you are going to see, is very small, like you can see it in front of some of us, very, very small, of course, in size. But it serves as a basic text for all creeds of Ahlul Sunnah and Jama'ah. And it will be interesting for us to know that Imam al-Tahawi, he wrote this book at the early age of Islam. You can see, like we said, he lived in the 3rd to 4th century, where most of these creeds that we are seeing in these days were not established then. So he tried to lay the foundation of writing what are the true creeds of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom the Sahaba were able to disseminate among the Islamic world after the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is consensus among the companions, the successors, and all the leading Islamic authorities, such as the four imams and their authoritative followers, that the doctrines enumerated in this book of Imam al-Tahawi, which are entirely derived from the undisputed primary source of the deen, that is the Quran and the Sunnah. That is the main sources where Imam al-Tahawi deduce all these creeds from. Like I say, Imam al-Tahawi was a great scholar of hadith, and at the same time, he happens to be a jurist. He was born in the year 293 in Egypt. His mentor was his uncle by name Ismail bin Yahya al-Muzani. Some scholars call this Muzani al-Muzani, so either of the two. This uncle of his was one of the most learned disciples of Imam al-Shafi'i. You will imagine how come he was a student of Imam al-Shafi'i, the Korean scholar, but he became a Hanafi. That is why in his name, you see they are referring to him as Al-Imam al-Tahawi al-Hanafi. So how comes that? The reason is nothing but scholar of his and his uncle at the same time, Imam Ismail ibn Yahya, he, of course, whenever he's teaching him, he used to refer to some ideologies of Imam Abu Hanifa. And Imam Tahawi was opportune to learn or to study from two renowned students of Imam Abu Hanifa, which is Imam Muhammad and Imam Yahya. Muhammad Tahawi and Imam Yahya, who happened to be the inheritors of the knowledge of Imam Abu Hanifa. So he studied from them, and he took interest in the way and manner Imam Abu Hanifa used to deal with issues that have to do with Jews. And that makes him to think himself that the student. And he became one of the major scholars of the school of thought. Also, Imam al-Zahabi, in his book, Tarikh al-Islam, that is known as Tarikh al-Kabir, he refers to Imam al-Tahawi to be an outstanding, intelligent scholar of reference. When we are talking of scholars in Islam, we cannot substitute Imam al-Tahawi for others. We have to refer to him before we have sound understanding of his knowledge. Imam Ibn Yunus, when he was trying to elaborate on who Imam al-Tahawi was, he said, Imam al-Tahawi was a trustworthy, well-known, intelligent scholar who was not succeeded by a scholar of his time. You can imagine. Also, Imam Ibn Kathir, when he is describing Imam al-Tahawi, he said, he was one of the most brilliant and trustworthy scholars of Greece. This is just few certifications that Imam al-Tahawi received as scholars of Islam. May Allah have mercy on them all. One of his work is this book, Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, which is in our hands. The actual material, although I think it's a very short discourse, but it's compressed with meaning. It follows the methodology of the pious predecessors and is framed in words that can neither be easily misinterpreted nor will soon empty out their meaning to become sterile. We also have some work which he left as legacy for the Islamic world. It's a book that is titled Sharhu Ma'ani al-Athar. This book was written by Imam al-Tahawi. The book is a collection of cases of legal nature where he takes a rule and then substantiates it with the help of various evidences. We only have another book which is titled Sharhu Mushkil al-Athar. The earlier mention and this very book are just like the two brother books. This one, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, presents tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which happens to seem contradicting. Then he will try to explain each of them and bring out the contradictory part of this in the eyes of those that doesn't understand. And you will now reconcile between the hadith by a very elaborate explanation. Another book written by Imam al-Tahawi was Mukhtasar fil Fiqhi ala Furu' al-Hanafiyya. This book, he deals with derivatives of principles of law. And in it also, he displays his talent of knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. So this is just a very brief explanation about Imam al-Tahawi and this book we are about to discuss Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah. The book, Alhamdulillah, was translated to so many languages. among which is this English language that we are going to discuss the book in. And of course, you can see the book from in the front of some of us, the Arabic text of it. And the book also receives attention by scholars. You know, anything that is rich needs to receive attention by scholars. So scholars give the book attention by trying to authenticate the book in the gospel. Is the book really written by Imam al-Tahawi? It confirms that. If you work on the book by trying to iron out some errors that happen at this period of time, you can imagine since the earlier second or third century of Islam to the 15th we are living in. So the book itself has undergone so many, maybe transformation, maybe the growth of copying the book. So scholars try to do the critique of the book. What is the real rank of Imam al-Tahawi? And some scholars make commentary on the book, that is sharp of the book. Among the present Islamic scholars who did a very good work on the book was Imam Nasruddin al-Albani, Allah has mercy on him. And I think that is the book that is being in some of our hands. But among all this work that were done on this book, the one that scholars regard as the best was the commentary made by Abu Muhammad al-Imam al-Hanafiya, Ibn al-Izzi al-Hanafi. Ibn al-Izzi al-Hanafi. May Allah have mercy on them all. So we have a work in the commentary of the book by Suhaib Hassan Abdul Ghaffar. It was English commentary of this book. So I implore some of us whom are very good in understanding English language to get this copy. The soft copy is available on the next year. You can get it, inshallah. And if you have any memory chip, you can call. I have it on the system. Inshallah, so that you can be going through the discourse, the book, inshallah. So this one is just a translation, the one I mentioned by Suhaib Hassan Abdul Ghaffar. He translates the text only, I often stand. But that of the commentary is by this man called Qari Faizi. He was an Indian man who did his work. It's about 200 and something pages, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask to be our guide as we go through this. And this translation also is also available online, but as we have it here, we can make a copy available so that everybody that needs the English translation, inshallah, will get it. So we are going to follow this translated one by Sheikh Suhaib Hassan Abdul Ghaffar. So, Quran Suhaib says, all praise be to Allah, the creator of the world. The learned authority of Islam, Abu Ja'far al-Warraq al-Tahawi of Egypt, may Allah have mercy upon him, says. So we have started the commentary now, straight ahead. This is an exposition of the belief of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. You see what I say? So it's not that maybe Imam al-Tahawi innovate the creed on his own. No. He is trying to explain the exposition of belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But the book is referred to as Al-Aqidah al-Tahawi because he is the author of the book. That is just the name. So they are referring the book to the author, not that he created or innovated the creed on his own. So he says the book is in opposition accordance with the way and the juries of Islam. One, Abu Hanifa and Nu'man bin Thabit al-Kufi. Two, Abu Yusuf Ya'qub Ibrahim al-Ansari, who is one of the descendants of Imam Abu Hanifa. And also Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Hassan الشيباني. That is the second scholar or student of the scholar Al-Hanifa. May Allah be pleased. And this is what they believe about the fundamentals of the religion and the belief they profess about the creator of the world. So this is going to tell us the general beliefs of Ahl-Sunnah, what we need to know and what we need to believe in because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his name, his attributes, and what happens to be in line with the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first aspect on the Tawheed, that is the oneness of Allah. Number one, Imam al-Sahawi says, among our belief, among our creed, we the Ahl-Sunnah, is that Allah is one, and Allah has no partners at all. This is one of the major aspects, fundamental creed of Islam. Muslims testify and believe that Allah is one, and he has no partner. This aspect is what makes this change between the believers and the disbelievers. So people have belief in Allah, but they don't believe in the oneness of Allah. You see, together with Allah, there are some believers, deities here, but they want to worship also. That is what they gave, like the Trinity's claimants, the Christians. They, of course, have belief in Allah. If you ask them what is their belief in Allah, they will tell you they believe in Allah, but at the same time, they believe that Allah has partners. They believe in Jesus to also possess some attributes of Allah. They believe in Mary, that is the mother of Isa alayhi salam, to equally have some attributes of Allah. So to them, Allah is three in one. So these draw their teeth. As a Muslim, you have to believe in the oneness of Allah. Now the most disheartening aspect of this is the believers, that is God that claim to be Muslims, some have another belief that Allah is even more than the number the Christians believe. That is the aqaid of Waqidatul Adyan or Waqidatul Wujud. In Islam, there are those that are claiming Islam, but they believe that there are so many Allahs. In fact, you yourself, you are one of the Allahs. He himself that is talking to you is also Allah. And he tried to bring evidence for you from the Quran. So you can see there is no doubt that this one is not true Muslims. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed in the Quran is that Allah is one and there is no deity, cross me, worthy of worship except him alone. Ya Musa, innani ana Allahu, la ilaha illa ana. No extra God but Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with us. Number two, nothing in the whole universe is similar to him. Yes. That is another thing we have to believe in. In the whole universe, there is nothing that is similar to Allah. Allah is unique. And that is why no any other thing that is similar to Allah. He is the only creator. Any other thing is creation. Don't forget it. So that is different. So you should believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone deserves all the attributes that belong to Allah. Trying to relate some attributes of Allah to somebody else means that you are having a similarity to Allah. And this knows the finger. It knows the wind. May Allah assist you. Number three, nothing can surpass or outreach him. That is, there is nothing that outreach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing in this world that will happen short of Allah's will. This is another aspect that some people derail from. Trying to relate some other things to some creators. For example, Buddha has belief of Al-Qadariyya. They believe that there are so many things that outreach Allah. Some things that creators do, it is not in the hands of Allah to stop it or to make it happen. So they believe you as a human being, you can create something that Allah doesn't know about. Aliyahzullah. So we have to have that belief. Something that has reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, we have to believe that no one is worthy to be worshipped except Him, Allah alone. Yes. If you believe that Allah is the only creator and He has no partner, and none in the universe is similar to Him, then the next thing is that you have to believe that He is the only one that deserves your worship. That is Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. The fourth aspect is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And that is the aspect that even the idol worshippers, they have believed in. So إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَهَا وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. If you ask them, who created the heaven? Who created the world? You tell me, inshallah. إِنَّهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. When you ask them to have that worship to Allah alone, إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّا لَتَارِكُو آلِهَتِنَا. So you mean you are going to leave all these idols of ours just for one Allah that you gave? Hi, it's not going to be believed. So having Tawheed of Rububiyyah alone doesn't make one to be a believer. You need to have the Tawheed of worship. That's the Tawheed of Rububiyyah. So that is why Imam al-Qahawi mentioned it here that no one is worthy to be worshipped except Him, Allah alone. Next one, Allah from His name and attributes is Qadim, with no beginning, and eternal, with no end. So this word, Qadim, is one of the aspects that scholars explain that for somebody to understand it, we really need to get a scholar, a sound scholar, in Greek to explain it. Because there are some attributes or names which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to describe Himself. So among what we have to understand is that we don't describe Allah is what we think Allah was. If not Allah or His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is describing it. So the name Al-Qadim was never found in the Quran or in the authentic hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the name of Allah or the attributes of Allah. But when you are using it to explaining this aspect, scholars say then there is no harm in it. And that is what we try to take this point of Al-Imam al-Qahawi to be. What he's saying in essence is that He is Al-Qadim with no beginning. That is, Allah has no beginning. So trying to explain the meaning of no beginning of Allah, you can use that word Al-Qadim, but not ascribing the name to Him as Allah or Ar-Rahman or Ar-Rahim as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in short, I want to get this aspect. So you try to take note of that. Definitely, Allah has no beginning. And Allah is eternal, He has no end. So what you can use to describe this from what is authentic in Hadith or in the Quran is the saying of Allah, وَهُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. Allah is the source without somebody who precedes Him. And He is the end without anything coming after Him. So Allah has no beginning and has no end. That is the description of Allah. And just that's what you need to believe in. Trying to ask, how do you understand that? You understand it because Allah has changed. So you don't have to believe in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied. The next one, you will never die nor perish. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among what he will never be described with is death. Allah will never die, nor will he perish. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى عَزُهُ رَبِّكَ فِي الْجِلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything that is being created on this world will perish. Whatever that thing is, be it living or non-living being, something strong or something soft, is it a stone, is it a mountain, is it trees, is it human beings, is it animals, they will all perish. Only what will not perish is the peace of Allah. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So that is why the believers and the Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that everything will perish, everything will die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, what is this verse of Moses? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ جَيْسٍ. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste the path of death. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only omnipotent that will not die nor will he perish. So this is a long decree upon Sunnah wa Jama'ah. So unlike what some used to claim, also that Shuyukh or there is a prophet or angel who will not die, or who has never died for you. All these are claims that have no basis. The seventh one, nothing happens in this universe except with his will. Nothing happens in this universe except with the will of Allah. Yes. This is to tell us that Allah has power over everything. So there is nothing that will happen without Allah's will. That is what we mentioned earlier, that those people that they call them Al-Qadariya, they derail from the path of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because they believe there are so many things that happen without the will of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Next one. We should know that among the creeds of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that there is no conjecture, no thinking can perceive his real essence. Yes. No matter how awesome you are, you never can perceive the real essence of Allah. Saying that you want to know everything about Allah, this is what makes people to go astray. They let themselves astray, like the Ashabul Quran. So that they refer to as the philosophy. Everything they tell you, you want to understand. How does Allah come to be? What are the nature of Allah? This thing that Allah do, the dog, how does this come to happen? So they think that this mighty thinking can teach everything. But in Islam, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that your little sense of reasoning never can perceive anything that is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah says, وَلَا يُحِيكُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِ. No one, nothing can perceive the real essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah just assist us. The next one, this is the name. He does not resemble any of his creator. Yes. Allah doesn't resemble any of his creation. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. No end of his creation resembles Allah. But unfortunately, we have some people that are claiming some creators to resemble Allah or to even relate them as Allah himself. Alhamdulillah. The next one, that is the most one, among the attributes of Allah, is that Allah is alive. He is alive. Death will not overtake Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death will not overtake him. He is the protector. In no need not sleep at all. That is what I have to see of sleep. Isn't it? Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy. Allah is alive. Al-qayyum. La ta'akhudhu sinatun. Wala nawm. So it is among the authentic attributes of Allah is that Allah is alive. And it is among those things that we should never describe Allah with, is that no need of sleep at all by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ta'akhudhu sinatun wala nawm. Even slumber, we are sleeping. And the next one, the 11th verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, who is al-Khaliq. He is the creator of the whole universe, but he is in no need of it. Allah created the universe without expecting anything from them. You know, we as creators or as living beings, whatever we possess, we need something from that thing, isn't it? Even if it is our children, we are thinking of a time that is coming in our lives that will be weak, so we need their assistance. So that is why we need children. If you think of what you use, maybe your bike, your vehicle, and what have you, we need it to assist you in reducing your movement. But Allah created the whole universe and He needs nothing from you. That is why in one of the hadiths of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which Abdullah ibn Abbas was narrating, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that if the whole world will gather on a piece of land, and let every of them seek what he needs from Allah, if Allah decides to give each one of them what he deserves, that doesn't reduce anything to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can see that Allah is not in need of anything from us. This prayer that we are praying, it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enjoying the prayer. No, it is the benefit is off. If you fast, if you go to Hajj, if you do this, if you do that, the benefit comes to you. It's not that it goes to Allah. That is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was referring to what he did as the act of ibadah in slaughtering ram on the eighth day or in the Arafah, Allah says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. The meat, no, the blood, is not been eaten by Allah. I want to get it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the whole universe. There is no need of it. He sees all without difficulty. Allah Akbar. هو الذي يربي كل شيء. He sees everything. نحن نرزقكم وإياكم. نحن نرزقكم وإياكم. Anything you see in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the responsibility of giving. So do not think that your risk is in hand of anybody. Your risk is in hand of Allah. And never think somebody's risk is in your own hands. You may just be a sadaqah. It means destiny. But if Allah has destined that this is just to be stopping, that's a thing we do. It's just to be stopping. If Allah has destined that you are going to get something, that thing must meet you without anybody stopping it. And that is why one angel decree came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him that Allah has destined that no one among his servants will die except he finishes all that Allah has destined for him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ أَلَّا تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. Even if it means a drop of water, Allah has destined to be lost. You will not die until you take it. And nothing will stop you from doing it. So we should all believe in that. That is what we do if we find our faith in whatever we find ourselves. We will not be ascribing something that happens to some people. If it is this person that is doing me, if it is this person that is me to meet this no. We all have our belief that it is from Allah and nobody can stop it. Allah. The next one, the Imam al-Tahawi says, among the creed and belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that we should believe on the oneness of Allah that He made all His dead He's okay. Yes. Let me all his creation, he says death. That is the part we refer to. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. And Allah is not afraid that this servant of his is so much obedience to him that he is afraid of taking his soul. No. If there is anybody that Allah will reserve his life, no one other than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he should die. In fact, there is this tradition in the that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لم يترجد شيء مما أنا فاعله من قتل نفس المؤمن. There is nothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to contemplate in doing by taking the soul of his servant, the believer. يكره الموت ولا أكره المشاهدة. He doesn't like to die. The believer, that is the matter of whom we go, we all don't want to go. If they will come here now and ask us to have a vote that who is ready to die immediately, no one will go for that. But if they ask us who wants to live for the next 50 years, 100 years, what is it? Even Anil Musa alayhi salam, when Allah sent the angel of death to him, he come back to him. To the extent that he removed one of his eyes. Even Musa alayhi salam. The hadith is there in Sahih al-Bukhari. Then the angel went up to Allah. Oh Allah, you send me to your father who doesn't like to die. Then Allah says, go up to Musa and ask him, if you want to live in this world for 20 years, you should take his arm on the cow. And the number of years covered by his hand will be counted and multiplied by 1,000 years. And Musa asked, after those years, what next? He said, then death. So nothing that will not take place except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah made all he said dead with no fear. He will resurrect them without any difficulty. Yes. After the death of all life, Allah will still resurrect them. أما يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون. Allah سبحانه وتعالى has promised that there will be to be a day, there will be the day of resurrection. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. So there is no doubt that after death we shall be resurrected. That day everybody will account his deeds. May Allah assist us. So that resurrection is not going to be a huge deal. It's not going to be difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying, وَهُوَ أَحْوَنُ إِلَيْهِ. That is the most easiest thing. Allah that creates you in the first instance without any difficulty. What difficulty will he encounter in resurrecting you back? There wouldn't be any difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our faith. The next one, Al-Imam al-Sahawi states that since eternity, Allah has been there. Yes, Allah has been there since eternity. With all the attributes, all the attributes that were mentioned, Allah has them since eternity. It is not that Allah gets to have all these attributes later on. No. He is Al-Khaliq before he made the creation. How can he is Al-Awwal before he creates other things. He is Al-Akhir even before anything changed. So all the attributes of Allah have been in eternity. They have always had these attributes. And we always have these attributes here. So we should know that all the attributes, the authentic attributes of Allah have always been with him. And they will continue to be with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not increase after he got the creator. You see what he said? It's not that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, then he assumed equality or attributes. No. Even before our creation, Allah has that attribute to his and he assumed those attributes. So, did not increase after he brought his creation into existence because he has always been there between subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next one, that is the 14th one, he was not the creator after he had created his creation. You see what you are saying? لم يستحل عليه هذا الاسم الخالق. It's not that after Allah has created the creator, then he became the creator. No. Even before their creation, he is the creator. Unlike the human being. For example, now, every time you are studying, maybe you are studying in a secondary institution, you are studying medicine, every time you graduated, and they will call you a medical doctor. You assume that thing after graduation. But before then, you are not a medical doctor. Don't understand. So Allah says it's not like that. All the attributes of being a king before even he establishes what that name signifies. So that is why he uses the Khalik as an example. He was not the creator, he was not the Khalik after he had created the creator. And neither was he the designer and Barri after he has designed the universe. So it's not like our architect or an engineer. After he has graduated from the school of engineering, he became engineer or architect, then he'll be able to design. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having that attribute even before he designed the universe. Then the next one, it was the Nourisha, that is Ar-Rab, who takes care of all. Before there was anyone to nourish, yes. Even before there is anyone to be in existence, Allah was the nourisher. Like now, if you get married and you give birth to children, they will become to us father. But before then, they are not the father, isn't it? So Allah's attributes are not like that. Allah has been a nourisher even before he nourishes his creators. The equal Allah is the creator who was Khalid before he has created anyone. That is before the creation of anyone, Allah is Al-Khalid. And the next one, although he is entitled to be called the resurrector after giving life to the dead, you should know that Allah deserves this title even before the resurrection. You see what we're saying? As we say, after we have finished our life, we are all going to be resurrected. Now, the name, the resurrector, we will be attributed to Allah before that resurrection. Allah has that attribute even before that. You understand? Similarly, he deserves to be called the creator even before he gives life to anyone. So this is what we are trying to say. All the names, all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are already there with him without being in existence after maybe something or something like that. Next one, Allah has power over everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over everyone. Everyone is in complete need of him. Yes. Everyone is in complete need of Allah. But Allah has no need of anybody. He can do whatever he likes. Yes, that is among the attributes of Allah. And he can do whatever he likes easily. And he's not in need of anything. Allah doesn't need anything from us. If Allah wishes, he makes you to be a scholar. If Allah wishes, he makes you to be a beggar. That's how Allah defines how he does his things. So only what you need to do is to thank Allah to whatever position Allah has placed you. And you should know that if you need something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you what you think is not what you need. That is how Allah wishes. And that is how Allah designed it to be. So you're not going to be defining what you need to Allah. It is Allah that will define what you want to happen to you. That is why a believer always, he has that belief in Allah. That whatever happens to him is from Allah. And that is how Allah has it. That is why the Prophet made it clear that a believer always is in position of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In asabatu as-sarra shakara fakana khairullah. In asabatu as-sarra shakara fakana khairullah. So a believer never thinks whatever Allah wants to do is wrong. Maybe you are planning to graduate, to have this type of job, and Allah made the opposite to happen to you. Take it to faith. Believe that that is how Allah wants things to be. And you not have any maybe hypertension, killing yourself before your day of death. So we should know that. In the next one, Allah Almighty created all consciously. Yes, Allah is in control of whatever He created. But Allah made this thing to be animal. He made it to be human being, but not the animal. So Allah is in control that you are going to be a human being. Among human beings, you are going to be a male, or you are going to be a female. This social person will be your father. Social person will be your mother. It's not by mistake. That is how Allah intends. And that is how it should be. So it is you now, as the servant of Allah, that have to see that in the case. That mashallah kana wa ma lam yasha. Whatever Allah designs is what is going to be, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't be, will never happen. The next one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala estimated for each of his creator what is needed. That is what is known as takdir or predestination. Yes. This is just what we are trying to point out. There is nothing you need in life that Allah has not finished. What you are going to be and what you are going to possess, Allah has designed it. All what you are looking for is time. Allah has determined that you are going to be so person. It's just a matter of time. If the time has not reached, you will not be there. So that is why the best thing for the servant of Allah is receiving everything with faith. All that is expected of you is to do your best. There is nothing harm in taking measures of becoming this or becoming that. But where you are going to make error is when you presume that that thing must happen. And that is where you are making mistakes. But have intention, plan towards it and work towards it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will or wishes, make it to be. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes all the way around for you, then keep it with you. The next one, you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned the end of every creature. Yes, that is it. Right from the time you are in the womb of your mother, Allah has sent an angel to come and write some four basic things. That is the rizqi, wa ajalihi, wa shaqiyun, am shahidi. There, the number of days you are going to spend has been written. How many years are you going to spend? 20 years, 12 years, 48, 54, 60, 80, whatever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned it for you. I will not be succeeding. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً لَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Nobody is the king to think as well as nobody lasts his time when the time is over. So you should know that also. Among the creed of the believers or Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we should know that nothing was hidden from him even before he brought his creation into existence. We finish this first part. Alhamdulillah. So that's why we did corruption. So I think we have just about six more. So alhamdulillah. So we should know that nothing was hidden from Allah even before He brought His creation into existence. Yes, this time we are sitting here now, that we're having this forum or discussion, it was not speaking to Allah that in this day, at this time, this number of people are going together in this day to discuss this thing. It wasn't speaking to Allah. Allah knows him or knows this thing even before he created Adam alayhi salam. Allah knows that on Sunday, at this day, at this time, we're going to meet, this is what we're going to say, and this is what is going to happen. Allah knows that even before that. I want you to understand. So you can see the type of knowledge you can find for that week. By the time you are saying, Allah is the Alim. Allah is the knowledgeable. Allah is the Lord. You know that there is nothing that is hidden to Allah. It wasn't hidden to Allah that, okay, we are going to use this book on this day. No. Allah knows it, and Allah is wise and wise. So equally, he knew beforehand whatever his creator will do in their life. Yes. Allah knows whatever his already was of God will do in his life. Even you, if you give God to 2, 3, 4 children, you don't know what they are going to do in life. But Allah knows. Allah knows he is going to be a businessman among them, he is going to be a teacher, he is going to be a lawyer, he is going to be this, he is going to be that. All is doing the same. All is being taken care of in that matter book that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one, Allah Almighty commands his people to obey him and to keep them from disobeying him. Yes. This is what we expect one to understand, having known all these attributes of Allah. Also, this Allah that we are explaining his name, discussing his attributes, then he has some commands. He has some views and don'ts. Now, do you know that all these commands made by Allah, you have to follow them? Do you know that all these things that are being forbidden by Allah, you have to show you from them? So, these are what is expected of each and every one of us. So, no one is expected to disobey Allah, and no one is expected to go against the instructions and injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next one, we should believe that everything in this universe is bound to this deed. Everything in this universe is bound to the will of Allah. What he wills is what he wills for us. What he does not will will never happen. We should believe that. So whatever Allah wills, is what will happen. It's what will prevail. Whatever Allah forbids, know that it's not going to happen. That is just the injunction. Next one, Allah Almighty guides whom He likes. Now, guide Iman Yasha, Ila Siratul Mustaqim. He's the one that guides whomever He likes. He protects everyone out of His kindness. Allahu Akbar. Now, look at when it comes to protection. Allah doesn't protect who He wills. He protects all, because we are all His servants. And that is why, when it is raining, the rain doesn't fall in the house of believers only. This grief we are enduring, it doesn't come to the mosque only, without going to the church. It goes to everyone. I don't understand. When it comes to Allah's mercy, so this one goes to only whom believe in Allah, alone. Without anybody seconding them. So, in this aspect of kindness, human beings and all creatures are in need of this kindness. That is why the kindness of Allah is being distributed to all. On the firm ground of justice and equity, take note, on the firm of justice and equity, not equality. You know, there is a difference between equity and equality. Yes, when we are talking about equality, it's sharing things in equal number to all. If somebody comes here with a bag of pure water, we share it in units, maybe 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3. This is what we mean by equality. But when we are talking of equity, it's giving everyone what he needs. How to get it? I know there are my mentors in English language here. We will explain that one better. But we are trying to understand this what use by Imam al-Shahari that Allah kindness to mankind is on the ground of justice and love and equity. That is why when somebody has more than one life, it's out of equity and not what? Equality. I hope you get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be gracious or withhold his guidance or places his child into us in life. Yes. There are some things that you need in need of that Allah will help you to do from you. Why? Because Allah wants to try your faith. That is why Allah says, وَلَيَبْلُ وَلَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالْنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah will be given a trial. Allah wants to see how firm is our faith. Are we going to take it to the state? Or we are going to lose our faith? That is why Allah tries us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that to whom Allah will like. So that is why our trial also differ from one person to another. Somebody may be tried by a thief stealing away his property. Give you his life, give you your handset. And somebody may be tried by maybe having a fire outbreak in his house when he was shot. And somebody may be tried by taking the best partner he has on this world. Maybe his mother, his father, Allah will take him away. His son or children, his friends, or whatever. So these are different ways Allah has promised to try us. So Allah tries him not because he doesn't like him. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to try the believer in accordance with the level of their faith. The Prophet that is telling me in Allah Qadr is my name. So we should believe in that and we should know that. The next one, all people are under his rule in this world. Yes. As long as they are living in the world of Allah, they are under Allah's rule. If you want to go away from the jury of Allah, then go away from this world. You go and find yourself in another world. I hope you can. I think it's impossible. Seriously. Their lives are governed by generosity and kindness at one end and justice at the other end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to govern our life, which is kindness and generosity. And on the other hand, which is justice. Yes, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to make some things to happen to his servants based on their case. Whereas other things Allah will just do it with his generosity. Not because you are having cake, not like this. Then Allah will make you to be richer than that. No. Allah will need to give to something that doesn't have cake in it before what you that have cake in it doesn't have. How can you say? These are all forms of way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala try us. The next one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all partners and people. Yes. That is why the most important thing Allah forgives is associating partners with him. Allah forgives any other form of disobedience, but not shirk. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. So that is why it is highly discouraged for somebody to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second to the last from this perspective of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that no one can change his ordained decision. Whatever Allah has ordained, preliminarily, nobody can change it. And that thing has happened. Allah has ordained that this thing is going to happen to you. No thousands of revealing Quran or reciting Quran that will change it. It must happen. Only that you have to know that things like this, there are some things that your dua, prayer, go, or your